Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity, flop, flop, flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
1-2.
This far, it is gone. Second deck. His first major league hit is a home run against the Red Sox. How do you like that? Higashioka, the home run stroker. He homers to left. And the Yankees take a 7-0 lead.
And boy, that dugout is alive. And Hickey trying not to really spy. You want to be professional, right? And he goes in there and, so they're giving him the silent treatment. And that, now they're coming and hugging him. Marcus Timms giving him this. So he's going down high-fiving himself. Now they're all coming out and jumping on him.
Oh, that's terrific.
Oh, I want to get to David Price. I definitely do. First, I want to get your calls, though, for those who've been waiting on LeBron, the Celtics, the rookie, missing his flight, all of that. Gertrude in Fitchburg. Hello, Gertrude.
Hey, how are we doing today?
Good.
So, you can't have it both ways there, big boy. You know.
Oh, God. Yeah, I knew the name like Gertrude, like that wasn't going to go well.
Did you hang up on her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, this isn't the night show arc.
Gertrude.
Joe is in Braintree. Joe.
Oh, hi. How you doing, guys? With LeBron, I mean, the situation is still the same with Kawhi Leonard, is it not? And we think that after this year, he'll end up with the Lakers with LeBron. I mean, you put those two together, and pretty much they'll find another guy by that. I agree with you that this year coming up, he's going to have problems, and he's not going to, you know, be a real threat to go to the finals, but I bet you in 2 years and then the rest of his career there in L.A., he will be a, you know, they will put together a roster that will, you know.
That's better than the Warriors?
Well, I think they'll compete. I mean, you put LeBron with Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard, I think people underestimate how good this guy is.
He's very good.
I mean, people thought this guy was maybe the second best player in the NBA.
Joe, if Kawhi goes there, I think we'll change our opinion of it, but Kawhi's not there yet. San Antonio's asking for a haul. A year from now, who knows what Kawhi Leonard's situation. A year ago, we were saying Paul George will be in L.A. He'll be a Laker in 2018. Nope, guess what? He's still in Oklahoma City.
And also, you need three
Oklahoma
more.
Oklahoma City, by the way.
Yes.
You want to talk about markets and draw. Where is Oklahoma City on the list compared to a place like L.A.?
Sure.
With a guy who's from Cali. Guy who's always said he wanted to be a Laker. Had admitted to others, I want to be a Laker. That was his dream, to be a Laker. And then he changed his mind and remained a member of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
For 4 years. Didn't take a 1 year with an opt-out or anything like that. He said, no, I'm staying there.
If you say, listen, this year it's going to be a problem. Okay, now you're talking about he went to a team where there needs to be a build. A build! He's 34 years old. He's about to be 34. You're not talking about builds at that age. So you cannot in any way make the case that it was an ideal situation for him. You can't do it.
No, I don't think you can either. Jordan and Pippen sort of remind me of the idea of what LeBron and Kawhi could be. You know, you got your superstar on one side and then sort of the really great defensive player who's also can score and do all these things. But you're not that them two alone, I don't think, step to Golden State.
And by the way, that's such a Laker thing too. Oh, they'll just build a good roster. Don't
it
is.
No problem.
Isn't it a Laker thing?
Just like
where
with
people who believe that. Oh, it's
Steve Nash and Dwight Howard, you know, that worked out really well.
Like the Lakers have never sucked.
Bringing in Gary Payton and Karl Malone there, that really was an A+. That was a grand slam. Like they've screwed up a lot. They've tried to do this and it hasn't worked. Nash and Dwight Howard was embarrassed. How bad that was. And, you know, I sort of look at that and think, yeah, okay, you get LeBron and Kawhi, that's fine, but you're going to need three more players who were at one point all NBA in order to be on the same level as the Warriors because they have a starting five of all NBA players.
Billy is in Waltham. Hey, Billy.
Hey, to what you guys were just talking about, I actually just read something about Kawhi not wanting to go to the Lakers now that LeBron's there. And he wants to maybe go to the Clippers instead.
Oh, even better. Even better for LeBron. Look at that. I mean, where'd you read that? Do you know?
I think I actually read it online somewhere. Maybe, I don't know who reported it. It was on Twitter or something.
We'll try and find that.
Lakers Nation has it, but they got it from somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, somebody's got it.
Woj had it. Woj has it. Adrian Wojnarowski explained that Leonard is not as interested in going to the Clippers now that James is with the Lakers. I've been told one of the reasons why he is looking at going to the Clippers or is a little less motivated is I think the idea of L.A. was fine to him. He preferred the Lakers but was open to the Clippers. Now that LeBron is in L.A., the idea of going head-to-head with LeBron to have Kawhi and the Clippers, him with the Lakers, and feel dwarfed by that, I'm told, is far less appealing to him. So I think it's the opposite of what the caller
is
saying.
Oh, so it's actually the opposite, really.
Oh, well, okay. I had heard the opposite, I guess. What I was going to say about Kyrie Irving and Butler, do you think Kyrie may have floated that story out there that he wants to play with Butler to put pressure on the Celtics to maybe trade for him? And do you think, like, would you make the trade for Butler if you think that it would help to re-sign Kyrie?
What's it going to take? What's it going to take to get Butler?
Well, hopefully not Brown. That's the whole thing. You know what I mean? If you could hold on to your pieces, maybe like Rozier, Morris, a few picks. You know what I mean? Like if you can get Butler for that, then obviously you go for it. But like I really don't want to give up Brown. But
yeah, I'm not sure that I would want to do that. The other thing that strikes me as being funny about that story is how much Jimmy Butler wants to win. Right? He's just such a winner, and winning is just in his blood. Does anyone remember the playoff series against the Celtics not that long ago?
Yeah.
I mean, you only have to go back to the spring of 17. Did Jimmy Butler strike you as a guy who could take over a playoff series because he's just such a winner?
Not particularly.
Yeah, no, I didn't really get that.
I sort of remember Rajon Rondo being the straw stirring the drink on that team until he got hurt.
Yeah, I sort of remember.
Not so much Jimmy Butler.
I sort of remember Avery Bradley completely eliminating Jimmy Butler from the series. And making him a non-factor. Now, I mean, that's just my recollection of it. I don't know if anyone else remembers that, but I can tell you that I was for Jimmy Butler being a Celtic until that playoff series happened. And then when that happened, I said, oh, never mind. Nope, not ready for prime time, not ready for the big stage. I will take a hard pass on trading for Jimmy Butler. No, I'm not going to trade for Butler with the hopes of keeping Kyrie Irving here. I take the story at face value. Also take that it came from the Chicago side. I think that's from Jimmy Butler's side. I think he wants out of Minnesota, and he's trying to go somewhere else.
Also, did you notice how Butler really clashed with both of the young sort of stars in Minnesota?
Yes.
Really didn't get along with Towns, really didn't get along with Wiggins.
He's just such a winner.
Right.
And that's what winners do. They yell at and gripe and complain to rookies. They don't, it's the losers who sort of help bring guys along. It's the winners that just look down at them and say, you guys suck, I don't want to play here.
Yeah.
That's the winning attitude.
Definitely.
Right? Isn't that the winning attitude?
Learned that from Kobe later in his career.
Yes, I think that's definitely how that works.
That's why they all want to be Lakers now. So they can be old Kobe and just yell at the rookies.
Yes.
that's the dream.
I go somewhere and yell at the young kids on the team and tell them how much they suck and how I don't want to play with them.
And to stay off their lawns.
That's the winning culture the Celtics are looking for. They're looking for a guy that comes in and hates the young guys. I think Jimmy Butler's a perfect fit for the Celtics because he will come in and hate them. He will hate Jason Tatum. Don't you worry. David Price did get rocked on Sunday night, by the way.
Big time.
Rocked.
Yeah, it was embarrassing.
Absolutely destroyed. And that means I'm never going to buy in again like I did before David Price's start. We'll get to David Price's start in New York on Sunday and also the series that the Red Sox just had with the Washington Nationals. I got a thought on a particular player on that side of things. We'll get to a little bit of baseball, mix that in, coming up next here on Zolak and Bertrand with Arcand in for Zoe and Hardy today. Yeah.
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand.
Aaron Hicks to straightaway center field and crushed and gone. Santa Maria. Five home runs for the Yankees tonight.
Breaking ball here from Price. Hicks with his second home run. A changeup. A flat one stayed up. Hicks, who's also a scratch golfer, hits the ball right down the middle of the fairway. Perfection for Hicks and the Yankees on this Sunday night.
Homers for Judge, Torres, Higashioka, and a pair for Aaron Hicks, all conspiring to make for a very short night for David Price.
Dude got shelled. Oh, Price, what a fool I am. I thought there was a chance that he carried everything that he had been doing since his vacation at the start of May into that Yankee game on Sunday night. He had pitched so well. He had things going the right way. He was feeling so confident as to sit there and openly start mocking the media and making his jokes, as his defenders will say, his jokes. He's mocking the media and mocking the things that have been said about him. I thought, this is his happy place. He loves to be miserable. He likes the spot he's in. And the fact that prior to his Yankee start, he went so far to mock that he wouldn't make the start because it's the Yankees and it would be a fortnight injury and all that crap that he did. Mm. I thought, okay, here we go. This is where Price finally breaks out and continues this run that he's on and pitches well in New York. He's feeling it. He's feeling good. He's in his happy place, which is misery for the rest of us. And so here it comes. Here it comes, Sunday night in New York. And what did he do? He completely let it run right down his leg. That was embarrassing. Worst start of his career.
From the first inning.
Worst start right out of the gate. Yep. He had the worst start ever because, and this is to me the clearest example of this for him, being a guy who can't handle the mental pressure of a big start and a big spot and a really big important game. Because there's not that many really important regular season baseball games. Sunday night to me felt like one of those important baseball games that you rarely get in a regular season. And he felt it too. And that's why he went out and was absolutely downright terrible. So now I think there's no question left. I mean, there's no more proof or evidence needed that this guy can't handle the pressure of a big start. Yeah. Can't do it. Different guy.
He didn't even have a chance out there. And it didn't matter who it was. It didn't matter if it was Aaron Judge. It didn't matter if it was that Higgy guy who'd never gotten a hit before in the history of his career. This backup
his
catcher.
First 22, I
Higashioki
believe.
Or Higashaka, yeah.
the third string catcher.
The home run rocker or whatever it was he called him. Like, I mean, there was no chance. He had no chance out there. And it wasn't like he didn't have his velocity. That was there. He was leaving pitches right over the heart of the plate. It was brutal. He said afterwards, he goes, "Oh, I think I was just tipping my pitches." No, you weren't. You know, the catcher was setting up
in
good spots.
Hold on. I will give him credit. He didn't exactly say that right after the game. He said it'd be easy to say that.
Right.
But I don't know. I got to go back and look.
Yeah.
He sort of left the door open. I didn't think his post game was that bad, actually.
It wasn't terrible. Yeah. I was expecting to be much worse and sort of, you know, just easy to hate watch. But it ended up being sort of, okay, well, you know, he is taking some sort of responsibility. But at that point, you know, it can't be worse than what we just saw. Like, your post game, even if you pulled your pants down, it wouldn't have been worse than what you did on the mound. Like, that was brutal. He was brutal. And it wasn't just the pitches. It was the body language. His eyes were wide open like a deer in headlights the entire time. He was yanking on his jersey. He was uncomfortable. It wasn't there. And to see him pitch so well over his last 10 starts and then go to Yankee Stadium and do that. I mean, any win that was still in the sails of this idea that, you know, maybe he's turning it around, maybe this is going to be a saved season for him, maybe we're about to see the real David Price. We saw the real David Price, unfortunately, and it wasn't what we thought it would be.
Sort of unfortunate for him, really. Sort of an unfortunate set of circumstances to go down the way that it did go down in New York on Sunday night, because now it's so obvious. That's stupid me. I feel stupid now. For having said a week ago, you know what? I think this could be the one. I think this could be the one where he actually keeps it going and does something well. And no, that is a truth. That is David Price's truth.
Mm.
That when you get into those big spots, you can't handle it.
No.
And it's not a fluke. And it's not about sample size. It's about when the lights shine the brightest, you shrivel up and can't do the job. And it's just something we are going to have to accept. And so I'm never going to get to a place again. Never will I get to a place again where I think going into one of those games, you know what? This is the time he finally breaks out of that. This is the time where he keeps it going, and the evidence that we've seen is going to prove that this is the one. No, it's never going to be the one. It'll never be it for him. He will never make the start and be the man in a game that's really important for this team or any other.
I'm to the point now, Beetle, where I'm just hoping that he can beat the bad teams as the games get more important.
There's value in that.
You know, there's value
it's
in it.
It's not worth $31 million a year, but there's value in it.
And I think he can. I think he can beat the Royals, and I think he can beat the White Sox and the Orioles and all these other ass-bag teams in the American League right now. But once those games start getting more important, I don't know. I don't know that for sure. I don't know that he's going to be able to go out there and beat the Blue Jays in, you know, August in a big game when, you know, the Yankees have just won six in a row and they need him to be able to keep pace with them and be in the pennant race. Like, those are all things that are now, you hope he can still do that. But when it comes to the big series, your Houstons, who I know he pitched well against, but your Yankees, your Mariners, even the Cleveland Indians at some point, I think they're going to go on a run and be better than they are right now. I don't trust Price for any of that, for none of it.
Can I quickly talk about someone else who I think is feeling pressure and is shriveling as a result? Bryce Harper.
Mm.
How many years now have we heard about Bryce Harper's free agency in the winter of 2018-2019? How many years now has that been talked about and discussed about how much money Bryce Harper is going to get when he hits the market? And is Bryce Harper, I mean, we can go back 3 years and talk about stories that were written. Will Bryce Harper be the next Yankee? You know, will it be down to the Red Sox and Yankees on Bryce Harper? He is a pending free agent this year. It's his walk year. And yes, he's hit home runs, but Bryce Harper is having a bad, bad slump. In fact, I've always been someone that says, no, the Red Sox should be in on Bryce Harper. I don't care where you think you don't have room for him or any of that. You should be in on this guy. You know what? I've changed my mind.
Out on Harper.
I'm out.
Wow.
It's been 215 in the walk year. The walk year that has been discussed for years. And of course, what do you think his agent says about this? Has nothing to do with his free agency.
Right.
Nothing to do. Here are the comments from Scott Boras, who blames Harper's struggles on not getting pitches to hit because of the intimidation factor. This is what he said, Bryce Harper over the weekend. Scott Boras over the weekend. I certainly have come to the conclusion where shifting is grandly discriminatory against power left-handed hitters, Boras explained.
Grandly discriminatory?
Grandly discriminatory.
Okay, thank you, Lord Byron.
And the reason
this is most unorthodox.
And the reason for that is you see that four men are on one side of the infield. Now he's explaining it. Against right-handed hitters, they have great advantages in this setup. They can only put 2.5 men there because they have to be near second base. The third baseman can play second base.
Who's the half man?
I don't know. They can get four there because the second baseman can go too far away. And the first baseman is way over. This is what he's blaming this bad year, this horrible year, where he's batting like, what is it? What did I say?
215.
215. He's at 215 now. He was at 218 over the weekend. He's batting 215 now. He is being shifted more this season. He is, in his career, before, or really including this year, he has batted 311. While being shifted in his career. This year, it's 248 against the shift. Doesn't that tell you, and that includes the 248 this year, doesn't that tell you that there's a difference in the hitter and not the shift?
Definitely.
You can look this up, Scott. It's not that hard. Baseball Reference will provide you the data.
And also, if he's hitting 248 in the shift, out of the shift, he's hitting enough to bring him down to 215, right?
Yes, exactly. That's what I mean.
That's like, not a good thing.
He sucks this year.
You're not helping the case.
Yes, I guess the power is still there.
OPS isn't bad. 840 OPS isn't terrible.
He's got the power. He still can hit for power. But I just think that maybe the pressure of this year has gone to him, and I don't think that's a good sign. That's not a guy I want to commit $300 million to. 221 in the month of June. 188. I mean, in June, I'm sorry, he batted 188. May, he hit 221. 188 for June. Here's what one National League executive, by the way, said off the record and anonymously, of course. He's simply overrated. The good ain't worth the bad. He's a losing player.
Wow.
Cares about himself more than the team. If I was in charge and had money, my team would not pursue him. That's when Nationals GM Mike Rizzo responded back in the Washington Post, saying those remarks are totally unfair on so many levels. Rizzo then pointed out, I love this, listen to this. Rizzo pointed out Jorge Castillo, Washington Post, he tells him, his 2012 Rookie of the Year award, he's made 5 All-Star appearances and was the 2015 NL MVP. Wait a minute. None of those have anything to do with winning, though.
Zero.
None of those have anything to do with winning or dealing with the spotlight and the pressure. Yes, we know he's a great player. But this was going to be the year that he went out and crushed it again and flirted with $400 million. I mean, that's been discussed now for years. What's happened? He's gone on the toilet.
Yeah, it's really true. He had sort of his career sort of had that Josh Beckett on-year, off-year sort of thing going on with it since 2015 when he had that monster 330 year with the 42 home runs. 2016, he hit 243. Last year, he hit 319. And this year, he's back down to 215. It's been like, you remember how Beckett used to have one good year, one bad year, and then sort of switch off every year? That's kind of what's happening here with Harper, which is fine. I mean, that happens to a lot of guys. But $300 million, you know, like for only half of the time he's there being really productive. And you have to keep in mind, Bill, he's still only 25 years old.
Yes,
so there's
a
lot.
Young.
There's a lot. I mean, there's 10 years of potential, you know, highlight baseball coming.
But
from
he
him.
Obviously has been in the game since a very young age. He had like that real Pete Marinovich type of upbringing that yeah. got him to this point. But he obviously hasn't flamed out. He's been a great player. But I think the pressure this year, he's seeing it, he's facing it, he's feeling it. And he hasn't responded. So, me, I'm taking a pass on that guy. That's too much money to not know for sure if he can hack it when it really matters, like another really expensive player, like David Price.
Can they be replaced by robots?
Robots?
Doubtful.
I think it's silly.
So I can perfect 95. The Sports Zone.
I would have preferred it not in our division. You know, the overall process was a really good process, instructional to have somebody else dive inside our own team, and we were thankful for the opportunity to present. You know, Pat and his group and John himself were really good about it, and he was well prepared, and we felt we put our best foot forward, and it didn't fall our way. But again, to be in that situation is something that our group should be happy about, and it's probably a reflection on what we're trying to do and trying to accomplish. But you know, I wish it had fallen our way.
So the Bruins lost out on John Tavares. Donnie Sweeney was happy to make the presentation. We'll get to the Bruins in a moment. But Tavares picked Toronto. I have a lot of respect for this guy picking Toronto. A lot. Now, I know I heard a little Jones on Monday. He was obsessed with, well, why aren't you calling Tavares a fraud like all the NBA guys?
Right.
That's what he was doing on Monday.
He was pounding that.
He really was.
Yeah. Not just Monday. All last week, too.
Yeah, he was really, really hot on that.
Mm.
That Tavares is no better than all the NBA divas. You're right. He is. He's a diva. He's an NHL diva, is what he is. The same way LeBron has been a diva, or name any guy that's gone through that process.
Durant.
Sure. Sure. Okay, fine. Great. He's an NHL diva. He's also a super talented player that just got a gigantic contract, and he gave multiple teams a shot to convince him to leave the Islanders. And he did. And he goes to Toronto, where they have not won in a very long time, and where there are real expectations, and it's a real market, where they care, you could argue, more than anywhere, and they're angry, and they're bitter, and there's pressure, and he's going home, and he is facing all of that and taking all of that on. All that crap about he's going to go to a place where, you know, he can get paid a lot, and it's okay if things don't go well because
yeah.
no one's really criticizing him. If he does not do well and he does not win in Toronto, there will be criticism. There will be outcry from fans, media, everyone that's up there. They care there. That's a real market, and he knows it because he's from there.
Wore the jammies back in the day.
That's, yes, picture of the jammies. And then Jones, oh, anywhere is Jam Jams. Like, yeah, Jones. Guess what? That's also, it's not what I find great about it. I find it's great that he's taking this thing taking the bull by the horns. Yep, I'm going there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going there. I'm going to be on this team, and we're going to try and win. Awesome. That means, to me, that's a good sign. That means that the Bruins were right to be in on him, because I think that speaks to his sports character. I think it does. I think that means he's a competitor, and he's got, you know, he wants to go after it. It means he would have made a good Bruin. It means he could have played here, and that he probably legitimately considered the Bruins, because he's not afraid of a tough hockey market, a traditional hockey market. He's not afraid of it whatsoever.
Yeah.
He just went to one with tons of pressure.
More than he would have had in Tampa, and Tampa probably would have been an easier pass to the Stanley Cup.
Look at the list. He went to the market with the most pressure out of anybody on his list.
Yeah, definitely. Boston be a close second, but
yeah, but I mean, listen, the Bruins have won recently.
Sure,
okay, 2011 is not that long ago. They were back in the Cup Finals in 2013. They've been pretty much, you know, in the playoffs most years in the last decade.
Leafs haven't won since '67.
It's been a while.
Yeah,
it's been a while, and that, if you look at it, I mean, where they're agitated and they're hungry to win because they haven't done it in a long time. Even when the Bruins won and hadn't won since 1972, they had still won more recently than the Toronto Maple Leafs. He picked the team with the most pressure and the most stuff to deal with outside of just going out and playing on the ice every night. We are not going to acknowledge that. We're not going to respect. Of course, we have to. He would have made a good Bruin. He would have. He was legitimately probably considering Boston.
You think so?
Yes, because based on what he chose. Yes.
If he ends up choosing his hometown team in division, like, then why were the Bruins really part of it?
I think it's harder because he's from there.
I think he just wanted more people involved, and he wanted it to be Dallas, which is a big, you know, media market, and Boston, which is a big media market, and sort of all these places, you know, the Bay Area, San Jose was involved.
Well, why does he need that?
I don't know. Just because he's a diva, that's why. Because he wants everyone talking about him. And then he ends up going home, you know, just like LeBron. Like, I don't know. I mean, I think that there's a lot. It's fine. He made a choice that I don't think was particularly onerous or offensive. And fine, go ahead and play in Tampa. Or not in Tampa, in Toronto, I should say. But, you know, let's not act like the Bruins and the Stars and the Sharks and all these teams were legitimate choices. Like, everyone talked about with John Tavares was two things. Number one, how loyal he was to the Islanders, which obviously he wasn't, or he would have re-signed there last summer and never dragged them through all of this. And number two, what a down-home, you know, no-frills kind of guy he is. And if that was true, then why was Dallas involved? Why was San Jose involved? Why were these other teams here involved? I like to think the Bruins were a choice, but the more I think about it, like, he went to Toronto.
How about him
from the Islanders? Yeah. That just seems like that was preordained.
How about him dropping it on Canada Day, too? Love that. That's a nice touch. Did it on Canada. Didn't. Now, the buzz didn't last. LeBron, you know, again, the NBA and LeBron is going to be much more important than John Tavares.
Big shocker there.
He trumped him in a matter of, like, 6 minutes, but still. I respect it. I respect the decision by John Tavares going there, dealing with that. They haven't won in a long time, and now he's going to sort of be the guy that's tasked with getting them over the top. It also isn't great news for the Bruins, by the way.
No, it isn't.
I just like to point that out. That's not great news for the Bruins. Not that he didn't pick the Bruins, but that he picked the Maple Leafs, which the Bruins will now have to deal with, and they'll have to deal with John Tavares playing for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah.
That team just got better.
And you didn't have a real easy time with them without him. You know? And you didn't get much better.
What are you making the Bruins offseason at this point?
It sucks.
What a dud.
There's been nothing.
What a dud.
I think they've gotten worse, honestly. I mean, there's no real way to dress this one up. They've made a couple of signings, and that's fine, but no one you really look at and think, oh, God, there's the guy who's going to put us over the top. That hasn't happened. Nothing close to that has happened. And, you know, no draft picks to speak of, no real impact free agent signings, no trades. Like, I mean, it's not like they had a bad year last year. But they haven't done anything. I mean, they've done nothing. And these other teams are going out and getting things done and adding to their direct competition is getting better.
So there's not much to brag about or say that has gone great for the Bruins. But I can tell you what I think is the most interesting part of their offseason. And that is Yaroslav Halak being here as the backup goaltender. That to me is the most interesting thing they've done.
Piss off Tukarask?
I mean, I don't know if it's to piss off Tukarask or eventually have him be a platoon with another goalie on this team, not named Tuukka Rask. I saw this signing. I saw how things went down, and, you know, I read that report that with Anton Hudobin, it came down to $50,000, which I found that was interesting.
Right.
Also, that involved a second year, which I don't love that idea, and I'm glad that they didn't want to give. Actually, I don't know that they didn't want to give a second year. The way it's been reported is that they were $50,000 apart. That's the quote from Hudobin. Maybe they just didn't want to give him the second year. And for that, I wouldn't blame them. Maybe they did want to give him the second year, and I'd say, what are you doing? But Halak being here, I don't know. I know that he's only 33. He's been a starting goalie in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Does that open the door for them to have a Tuukka trade at some point? And I'm not saying that he's going to be your every game goalie, but maybe they acquired yet another goalie somewhere in there in a deal. I don't know. I find that one interesting. That one sort of stands out. But that also speaks to how much of a dud the offseason has been. When the backup goalie is the most interesting thing that has happened.
It's the only thing. It's all you really have. And I don't know. I mean, I look at Halak and think, 33 years old. They're giving him a shot now after he was... Was he waived by the Islanders? Didn't they waive him?
Yeah, he's had injury problems.
I mean,
he's had performance problems. He's had a lot of this.
Sure. And at 33, I mean, that's not super young, but they should have a couple of years ahead of him, I guess, if there's anything left in the tank there. And again, if this is a backup situation, that's fine. I don't think we're going to get into like Martin Jones territory here, like when he was here for a couple days and then they ended up shipping him out for another trade. It doesn't seem like he's that caliber guy, and he's certainly not that age. So I don't know. I think this is your backup, and that's it. You know, he was here. Hudobin's gone. If they can find a perfect deal for Tuukka, then sure. I guess that opens up a little flexibility, but not enough to make
them, not enough to get you excited or think it's a good idea. I think that there could be something cooking there. If you're saying, do you want to trade Tuukka and then have Halak and another guy? Sort of. No, that's not a great plan. That doesn't. But what's the payoff? What would you get in return for that? What is there to gain? I don't know. It's just sort of interesting. 617-779-0985. Your calls and also our annual segment. We've done this after the 4th of July just about every year.
Okay.
How many people blew off a finger last night on the 4th of July? Because it happens every single year. We'll get to that next.
If you think Zolak is hard to contain on air...
Balls everywhere.
You should work in the same building with him.
Did Zol leave?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It is an annual tradition. Every July 3rd, thousands here line the shoreline in Marshfield and beyond to see the fireworks, the illegal ones being set off. But this year, one of those fireworks went astray.
It just happened to fall right between them, and it exploded. It was a big one. It was a really big, it wasn't a small, it was a big one. He was screaming. Who wouldn't be screaming? Very shocking. The whole thing is shocking.
Police say that firework took a turn, hitting the man in the leg, then his child.
Look, it's the 3rd of July. You really have to not be near the wall with underage people. Because you can't control them.
Oh, man. That one sucks. I never like to hear the stories where there's a kid involved. And it sounds like those people, that was in Marshfield.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like they were actual, like, victims of someone else.
Right.
Like, they weren't the ones lighting off the fireworks. They had someone shoot one near them, and it exploded near them. But that's hardly the case on the 3rd and 4th of July, because there are so many idiots in this world that every year, I texted you guys yesterday. I said, don't forget, by tomorrow we'll have a dozen stories about people blowing their fingers off
tonight. How many do we have?
I mean, just a quick Google search.
Yeah.
I don't know. Here's one from, we've got a bunch from Florida. Of course, Florida.
Obviously.
Of course.
Obviously. That's where JPP.
And by the way, I give him a lot of respect for tweeting out those, Instagramming those photos earlier this week of what his hand looked like after his accident, telling people, don't do this. You know, and he said, I'm fine. You know, I'm happy that I wasn't more hurt than I actually was. And if you saw these photos, they were gruesome. Gruesome.
It's like Arrested Development, you know. That's why you always light the fuse this far away.
Here's one in Florida. Play it, Tom.
Also breaking overnight, a gruesome fireworks injury in Lauderhill. Lauderhill Fire Department tweeting out this photo of the scene in the 5400 block of Northwest 24th Court. We're told a man there had a partial amputation of his hand somehow. He was taken to Broward Health in serious condition. No word on who the man is or how the incident occurred.
Oh, I have a pretty good guess how it occurred.
Yeah. Don't know who he is. I think we know what happened.
Number one, he was probably hammered. That's usually the case.
Mm.
The firework didn't light at first. And then he tried to light it a second time. Or he thought it was, you know, needed to be lit again, and he picked it up in his hand, and the thing blew up.
Yeah. Or it gets down, like, the fuse gets down to the end and then stops. And you're like, hey, what the hell? What's wrong? Boom! And then it goes
boom,
up.
Right in your hand.
Right.
You jackass. Like, this is my public service announcement every year. Here's another one in Florida. Play it, Tom. Another one.
This morning, a fireworks maimed two men in separate accidents along Florida's East Coast. Last night, a Lauderhill man had to have part of his hand amputated. And Tuesday night, a Merritt Island man lost two fingers.
Oh.
Officials say over two-thirds of all fireworks injuries occur close to the July 4th holiday. On average, 760 people a year go to the ER with fireworks-related injuries each July 4th. About seven people die from fireworks accidents.
Oh, the casual fireworks death.
Mm.
When does the other third of the fireworks accidents happen, by the way? Is that scattered throughout the year? Or
New Year?
Is it New Year's Eve? Is there another big night that the fireworks are taking digits off? I mean, this is the day to lose a digit. It's America's most, it's the deadliest holiday. Between the drunk driving, the fireworks, all the stupidity that happens on this day is mind-blowing.
America.
It really is. It's a good reminder of how stupid people are. how stupid people are allowed to be in this country because they're just dumb.
And we celebrate it.
If you were to take a look, like an anthropological view of the 4th of July, someone, came from another place that had never heard of this holiday, they would look at us and say, what are these idiots doing? What is this? What is this day where they blow their fingers off and they drive drunk? What are these people doing? What are they celebrating again? Oh, something really important?
Freedom.
Like freedom?
Yeah.
And they use the freedom to do what on those days? Wow, these people are dumb. Like this guy in Iowa.
Last night, Davenport police say they responded to a man in his 20s with serious injuries to one of his hands because of fireworks. It happened just after 10 o'clock on West 16th Street and Fillmore Street. The man's family tells Local 4 News he had just started lighting them when it went off in his hand. The victim's stepfather says he lost most of his fingers on his right hand.
Oh, God! Why?
Classic case of that happening.
Why do you do this? I don't get it. I just don't get it. I don't get it on this day. Why people put themselves in these positions. How we can count on this on the 5th of July every year like clockwork.
It's amazing.
That there will be multiple people that blow their hands off or worse on this holiday.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
The people who blow their hands off, like, okay, you blew your hand off. It's your fault. But it's the ones, and I'm not surprised a lot of these happen in Florida, because what people do is they go on the beach, they buy their big boxes of fireworks, they try and dig them into the sand and assume that the sand will keep them steady. And it doesn't. There's no base under the sand.
Because if you wanted to, like, build a house, you'd build it on sand, right?
Exactly.
I mean, exactly.
Things start shooting out
of
the box,
sturdy.
And it starts kicking around, and then it'll turn over and start shooting at the people next to you.
Sand
so that's
very,
the worst
very
one.
Very sturdy building material.
Everyone thinks it were, oh, yeah, just bury it in the sand. No, the sand isn't going to hold up. It's going to start shooting in different directions and hitting people.
Public service announcement. Don't hurt yourself on the 4th of July. Let your friend do the fireworks. Let him blow his hand off.
Have you ever lit off fireworks yourself?
Sure. Yeah.
Me too.
When I was like 14.
You do it right, it's fine.
Yeah, now I will gladly watch someone else do it. I'm good. You know what? I don't need that. Yippee! Yippee, it blew up a firework. Like, okay, how many times do you need to do that before the thrill is gone of you lighting the fuse on the firework?
Depends how drunk
yay!
I am.
I'm sorry. I just don't get it. I don't. Like, that's thrilling for you? The firework. Like, okay. All right. In fact, I think fireworks are one of the most overrated things going.
Really?
How many times can you do this and think like, oh, wow, ooh.
Wow, it goes up and comes down again.
Oh,
hey.
Wow, look at that, yeah. Of all the things we have in this world, if you're still impressed by the fireworks.
All the technology.
Of all the things we've done in this world, the fireworks still get you? Like the bright shiny object. You know? It's like a cat with its toy.
Yeah.
You know? How dumb are you, cat?
Big loud noise.
What are you doing?
Big shiny colorful thing.
Aren't you done with the fake mouse? Like, that thing's stupid.
It's a laser pointer, stupid.
Right, dummy. Big shiny.
You're never going to catch it.
And then it's even more thrilling when I get to light the lighter.
Right.
And do it myself.
Mm.
Why?
There's a feeling. I don't know. People just get their rocks off on it.
Yeah, there's a feeling, all right. There's a feeling of losing your fingers. That's a feeling, too. That's a sensation I never want to experience.
Yeah, feeling of having to wear an oven mitt for the rest of your life.
I'll leave the pyrotechnics to the professionals.
Yeah.
That's what I'll do.
You know what sucks about fireworks, too? Is they haven't evolved at all. Like, I was saying,
that's the same thing.
It's 2018.
It's the same thing,
you know?
All the time. It's the same exact thing that you saw when you were 5 years old.
Yeah.
It has not changed.
There's no difference. Like, I thought by now we'd have fireworks that would blow up and say, like, eat at Joe's, or you know what I mean? Like, in the cartoons.
Where
or
is
something.
That?
You can't,
where is that?
I can't even get, like, a picture of the flag or nothing. I mean, there's just nothing
there's
different,
so many
ever.
There's cooler things out there than fireworks. Do you know what I saw yesterday? Out in, like, California, Arizona, where they're worried about fires and it's, you know, drought. They've started using drone shows. Have you seen this?
A drone show?
So they're all synchronized drones, and they all have lights on them.
Mm-hmm.
And they can form the Eat It Joe's or the American flag. It's kind of cool. You know why?
Yeah.
Because it's different. It's new. It's something that's different from what we've done forever.
And no one's hand exploded.
Woo! I lit the firework off! Oh, aren't you awesome? Congratulations!
Do the drones make loud bangs and booms?
Like the guys who work on the barges?
Yeah.
For the Esplanade? When their firework doesn't ignite, they don't go over and pick it up with the lighter and try it again. They say, oh, that thing's dead. We're not touching that. No, that's it. It didn't work. That's it. It's considered done with. We're not doing that anymore. Like, watch the guys who are pros. They don't do that. It's funny how they don't have fireworks blowing up in their hands. And that's my piece on the fireworks. Fireworks are overrated. 617-779-0985. Headlines with Arcand. 90 seconds, noontime hour on the way. Let's talk about Edelman.